We are beginning chapitre 13.
Is that really how you say chapter in French?
Chapitre 13.
I like that. That's pretty.
Dans Harry Potter et l'ordre de la Phoenix. Écrit détention avec Dolores.
Detention with Dolores. That's my grandma's name, by the way.
Dolores.
Mm-hmm.
You know the what's funny about the name Dolores? So,
it means sorrowful.
No. The does.
Well, yeah. Dolor.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mean, like dolor.
Right.
Yeah.
Or dolor, which is Italian. In sorrow.
Interesting. It's kind of a sad thing to name someone.
Or pain. Yeah.
Anyways.
But it's a derivative of Mary, meaning like the sorrowful virgin.
Oh, interesting.
So it's one of the. Yeah.
There's a Seinfeld episode.
Oh.
Where the. The whole premise is that Jerry meets a girl and starts dating her, but can't remember her name. And,
why can't he remember?
Well, I guess it was, you know, he finds out her name once and then forgot it and then they already made out and he can't ask her name at that point because he feels hilarious. Awkward. So, all he knows is that apparently, as she said, kids would have made fun of her name when she was little. And he's like, why? And he's like, well, wouldn't you expect if your name rhymes with a female body part? Okay. So anyways, they're trying to, he and George are like trying to figure out what it is. And the best George can come up with is Mulva.
Regina. It's kind of like vagina.
Sort of, but it's not. Yeah, I guess I don't think they ever mentioned that. We should have said that. But anyways, apparently, so they go through the whole thing, and you know how they tape in front of a live studio audience, right? So apparently, the writers actually were planning on never mentioning what the name was, right? Because they apparently didn't know what the name was. They just made up this whole thing. Apparently, so they filmed the whole thing, and then afterwards, so of course, you know, eventually she finds out that he doesn't know her name, and then she storms off in a huff, and supposedly that's where that was supposed to end. And so they ended, and some of the studio audience were like, so what was the name? What was the name? And they're like, well, actually, we didn't have one. And someone in the studio audience goes, well, isn't it obvious? It's Dolores.
For what?
Clitoris.
Oh! That's hilarious.
So they added a little snippet.
I never even thought of that.
So they added a little snippet at the end. where, like, after the credits come back in, where she's already stormed off and she's leaving the building, and he goes, oh, and he runs to the window and he goes, Dolores!
That's really funny.
Yep.
Okay.
Anyways, detention with Dolores.
Stop it. That's my grandma's name! My dad's mom. It'd be more appropriate if it was my mom's.
Anyways. Maybe back then it didn't rhyme with, you know. Maybe they didn't know about it back then.
Probably didn't. They were immigrants, so.
Yeah. I guess.
Be like, is that, oh,
is that what they would say? What language is that now?
Attention with Dolores.
Dinner in the Great Hall that night was not a pleasant experience for Harry. The news about his shouting match with Umbridge seemed to have traveled exceptionally fast, even by Hogwarts standards. He heard whispers all around him as he sat eating between Ron and Hermione. The funny thing was that none of the whispers seemed to mind him overhearing what they were saying. On the contrary, it was as though they were hoping he would get angry and start shouting again so they could hear his story firsthand. He says that he saw Cedric Diggory murdered. He reckons he dueled with you-know-who. Come off it. Who does he think he's kidding? Police. What I don't get, said Harry in a shaking voice, laying down his knife and fork, is why they all believed the story 2 months ago when Dumbledore told them. The thing is, Harry, I'm not sure they did, said Hermione grimly. Let's get out of here. She slammed down her own knife and fork. Ron looked sadly at his half-finished apple pie, but followed suit. Why does Ron... Oh, man. Ron's like this little, like, pathetic, all right. People stared at them all the way out of the Great Hall. What do you mean that you're not sure they believe Dumbledore? Harry asked Hermione when they'd reached the first landing. Look, you don't understand what it was like after it happened, said Hermione quietly. You arrived in the middle of the lawn, clutching Cedric's dead body. None of us saw what happened in the maze. We just had Dumbledore's word for it that you knew who had come back and killed Cedric and fought you. Which is the truth, said Harry loudly. I know it is, Harry, so will you please stop biting my head off, said Hermione wearily. It's just that before the truth could sink in, everyone went home for the summer, and they spent 2 months reading about how you're a nutcase and Dumbledore's going senile. Rain pounded on the window panes as they strode along the empty corridor to Gryffindor Tower. Harry felt as though his first day back had lasted a week, but he still had a mountain of homework to do before bed. A dull, pounding pain was developing over his right eye.
Welcome to my life, Harry. Sorry.
He glanced out of a rain-washed window at the dark grounds as they turned into the Fat Lady's corridor. You know, along the lines of the whole homework thing, for kids who are supposed to learn about magic, they do have too much homework.
I know.
Like, she clearly is making this up as if, like, it's like our school, but, like, for magic, as opposed to what people would do if they were actually teaching you magic. It probably would be more like the old apprenticeships, where you actually work with someone, you know? Like, if you wanted to learn to be a blacksmith back in the day.
No, because, like, because that's not how... They're advanced. I mean, they do write, and, like they have the ministry and stuff like that. So they have to have, like, well-rounded knowledge. So that's why they have school. So that when they... Like, they're getting to their upper levels and stuff like that.
Okay. There was still no light in Hagrid's cabin. Nimbus Mimbletonia, said Hermione before the fat lady could ask.
That's not how Hermione talks.
Yeah, but it's a dumb word, so.
I like it.
The portrait swung open to reveal the hole behind it, and the three of them scrambled through. The common room was almost empty. Nearly everyone was still down at dinner. Crookshanks uncoiled himself from an armchair and trotted to meet them, purring loudly, and when Harry, Ron, and Hermione took their three favorite chairs at the fireside, he leapt up lightly into Hermione's lap and curled there like a furry ginger cushion. Harry gazed into the flames. Are you a kitten?
Yes.
Are you curled up?
Yes.
You're very cute.
Okay, kissy.
Harry gazed into the flames, feeling drained and exhausted. Who makes all the fires?
Oh, the house elves.
Oh.
Oh, can you pause it for a second?
Yeah. And we're back. How can Dumbledore have let this happen? Hermione cried suddenly, making Harry and Ron jump. Crookshanks leapt off her, looking affronted. She pounded the arms of her chair in fury so that bits of stuffing leaked out of the holes. How can you let that terrible woman teach us? And in our owl year, too. Well, we've never had great defense against the dark arts teachers, have we? Said Harry. You know what it's like. Hagrid told us nobody wants the job. They say it's jinx. Yeah, but to employ someone who's actually refusing to let us do magic... What is Dumbledore playing at? And she's trying to get people to spy for her, Ron said darkly. Remember when she said she wanted us to come and tell her if we hear anyone saying anything about you-know-who? Of course she's here to spy on us. That's obvious. Why else would Fudge have her come? Don't start arguing again, Harry said wearily, and Ron opened his mouth to retaliate. Can we just... Let's just do that homework. Get it out of the way. They collected their school bags from the corner and returned to the chairs by the fire. People were coming back from dinner now. Harry kept his face averted from the portrait hole, but he could still sense the stares he was attracting. Shall we do Snape's stuff first, said Ron, dipping his quill into ink. The properties of Moonstone and its uses in potion making, he muttered, writing the words across the top of his parchment as he spoke. There, he underlined the title and looked up expectantly at Hermione. So what are the properties of Moonstone and its uses in potion making?
Does it remind you of me and you?
No, maybe a little.
You're my Hermione, and I'm wrong.
But Hermione was not listening. She was squinting over into the far corner of the room where Fred George and Lee Jordan were now sitting in the center of a knot of innocent-looking first-years, all of whom were chewing something that seemed to have come out of a large paper bag that Fred was holding. No, I'm sorry, they've gone too far, said she said, standing up and looking positively furious. Come on, Ron. What? Said Ron, plainly playing for the time. No, come on, Hermione, we can't tell them off for giving out sweets. You know perfectly well that those are bits of nosebleed nougat or puking pastilles or fainting fancies, Harry suggested quietly. One by one, as though hit over the heads with invisible mouths, the first years were slumping unconscious in their seats. Some slid right onto the floor, others merely hung out over the arms of their chairs, their tongues lolling about. Most of the people were laughing. Hermione, however, squared her shoulders and marched directly over to where Fred and George now stood with clipboards, closely observing the unconscious first years. Ron rose halfway out of his chair, hovered uncertainly for a minute, and then muttered to Harry, She's got it under control, isn't it?
Thank you.
Before sinking, as low in his chair as his lanky frame permitted. That's enough, Hermione said forcefully to Fred and George, both of whom looked up in mild surprise. Yeah, you're right, said George, nodding. This dosage looks strong enough, doesn't it? I told you this morning you can't test your rubbish on students. We're paying them, said Fred indignantly. I don't care. It could be dangerous. Calm down, Hermione. They're fine, said Lee reassuringly as he walked from first year to first year, inserting purple sweets into their open mouths. Yeah, look, they're coming around now, said George. A few of the first years were indeed stirring. Several looked so shocked to find themselves lying on the floor or dangling off their chairs that Harry was sure Fred and George had not warned them what the sweets were going to do. Feel all right? Said George kindly to a small, dark-haired girl lying on his feet. I think so, she said shakily. Excellent, said Fred happily, and in the next second Hermione had snatched both his clipboard and the paper bag of fainting fancies from his hand. It is not excellent. Of course it is. They're alive, aren't they? Said Fred angrily. You can't do this. What if you made one of them really ill? We're not going to make them ill. We've already tested them all on ourselves, just to see if everyone reacts the same. If you don't stop, I'm going to put us in detention, said Fred. Make us write lines, said George. Onlookers all over the room were laughing. Hermione drew herself up to her full height. Her eyes narrowed, and her bushy hair seemed to crackle with electricity. No, she said, her voice quivering with anger. But I will write to your mother. You wouldn't, said George, horrified, taking a step back from her. Oh, yes, I would, said Hermione grimly. I can't stop you from eating stupid things yourselves, but you're not giving them to first years. Fred and George looked thunderstruck. It was clear that as far as they were concerned, Hermione's threat was way below the belt. With a last threatening look at them, she thrust Fred's clipboard and the bag of fancies back into his arms and stalked back to her chair by the fire. Ron was now so low to his seat that his nose was roughly level with his knees. Thank you for your support, Ron, said Hermione acidly. You handled it fine by yourself, Ron mumbled. Hermione stared down at her blank piece of parchment for a few seconds and then said edgily, Oh, it's no good. I can't concentrate now. I'm going to bed. She wrenched her bag open. Harry thought she was about to put her books away, but instead she pulled out two misshapen woolly objects, placed them carefully on a table by the fireplace, covered them with a few screwed-up bits of parchment and a broken quill, and stood back to admire the effect. What in the name of Merlin are you doing? Said Ron, watching her through as though fearful for her sanity. They're hats for the house elves, she said briskly, now stuffing her books back in her bag. I did them over the summer. I'm a really slow knitter without magic, but now I'm back at school, I should be able to make lots more. You're leaving out hats for the house elves? Said Ron slowly. And you're covering them with rubbish first? Yes, said Hermione finally, swinging her bag onto her back. That's not on, said Ron angrily. You're trying to trick them into picking up the hats. You're setting them free when they might not want to be free. Of course they want to be free, said Hermione at once, though her face was turning pink. Don't you dare touch those hats, Ron. And she left. Ron, that's sort of like a trap.
It is.
Ron left. Ron waited until she had disappeared through the door to the girls' dormitories, then cleared the rubbish off the woolly hats. They should at least see what they're picking up, he said firmly. Anyhow. He rolled up the parchment on which he had written the title of Snape's essay. There's no point in trying to finish this now. I can't do it without Hermione. I haven't a clue what you're supposed to do with moonstones. Have you? Don't they have like a book or something, a library right. They can look things up in?
Yeah.
Ron's such a douche. Harry shook his head, who was also such a douche, noticing that as he did so, the ache in his right temple was getting worse. He thought of the long essay on giant wars, and the pain stabbed at him sharply. Knowing perfectly well he would regret not finishing his homework tonight, when the morning came, he piled up his books into his bag. I'm going to bed, too. He passed Seamus on the way to the door leading to the dormitories, but did not look at him. Harry had the fleeting impression that Seamus had opened his mouth to speak, but sped up and reached the soothing peace of the stone spiral staircase without having to endure any more provocation. We will stop there. I love you so much, kitten. I mean, you can say goodnight to yourself.
Good night.
Good night, Carrie kitten. You're an adorable kitten. I love you very much. Because you're so cute.
Look at you, you're so cute. You're so cute.
I love you, kitten.